This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 115 years ago this day, a great literary voice was silenced. Oscar Wilde died November 30th, 1900, only 46 years old. Now, since then, it's been widely held Oscar Wilde succumbed to the ravages of end-stage syphilis. But some determined modern physicians did some good medical detective work, and they've developed a much different theory about what killed the great writer. Would you believe an ear infection? University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor Dr. Howard Markel is here with us again. It really is a unique person who can be witty on his deathbed, is it not?
Oscar Wilde was incredible. He is said to have said, "My wallpaper and I are fighting a duel to the death. One or the other of us must go." Sadly, it was Oscar Wilde who went first.
And where and when did that theory of the syphilis begin?
Well, that's a very interesting one. Oscar Wilde himself thought he had syphilis. As an undergraduate at Oxford, he was experimenting with his sexuality, as too many of our undergraduates do. And he went to a really well-known prostitute in Oxford, a woman named Old Jess.
Okay.
And he thought that he contracted syphilis from her. This is around the late 1870s, and was convinced he had syphilis. In fact, he was so convinced that before he married his wife, Constance, he underwent a thorough medical examination and was cleared. Now, back then in the 1880s, they did not know the causative organism of syphilis, and it was really much a physical diagnosis. And you could have the symptoms of syphilis and not have syphilis. There could have been other diseases. Or you could have no symptoms, because syphilis is a very sneaky disease with three main stages, and still be infected. So that being cleared doesn't really mean much pro or con. Now, what works in the favor of him not having syphilis is Constance never contracted syphilis, and they had two children, two boys who had no signs or evidence of syphilis throughout their lives. So, and moreover, Oscar Wilde never had the end stage symptoms, the cardiovascular symptoms or the neurologic symptoms of end stage syphilis. So a lot goes towards him not having the disease he thought he had.
So what has turned these medical detectives toward a different cause of death?
Well, right after Wilde's death, there was a biography by a man named Arthur Ransom, who first publicly said it was end-stage syphilis that killed him. And this percolated and brewed and was really elevated to an art form in 1988. There was a man named Richard Ellman who wrote a Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, a wonderful biography of Oscar Wilde, and he reasserted this theory. Well, Oscar Wilde's grandson, a man named Merlin Holland, now they changed the name from Wilde to Holland after Oscar Wilde was infamously accused of being a homosexual and went to jail for it because it was against the law in Great Britain until the 1960s. So the family changed their name to avoid the notoriety. But Merlin was just very upset. I don't think my grandfather died of syphilis at all. And he wrote quite vociferously about this and objected to Ellman's diagnosis. Now, Ellman died very quickly after the book, or just before the book came out, of Lou Gehrig's disease, so he could not debate that. But this encouraged other doctors who – doctors love retrospective diagnosis. We love diagnosing the dead, the great dead.
Yes.
And generally it's a great thing because nobody could really argue with you. You don't have tissue. You don't have evidence. And so the argument goes on and on and on and on. But first a neurologist named Critchley and two South African ear physicians did a lot of digging. And as I mentioned, Wilde was in jail for 2 years between 1895 and 1897. He was examined by physicians at least seven times. Two of them were psychiatrists. And there was no mention ever in his medical records of having any of the signs of syphilis, whether it was neurosyphilis or any other form.
Which you would expect at this point, considering he died just 3 years later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a lot of physical signs of what's called tertiary syphilis, and when it involves the neurologic system, that are quite easy to elicit. None of these were found. Now, he did have this chronic drainage from his ear. So it's called otorrhea. It's fluid, just constantly draining from the ear. Probably a series of middle ear infections, what pediatricians like me know as otitis media.
And parents like me know about amoxicillin.
Yeah. By the way, 80% or more are caused by viruses, so you don't need antibiotics.
Back in the 80s, it was amoxicillin, but you're right. Yeah, that's changed.
Yeah, I wrote that script quite a bit. Just stamped it on.
Yeah, we used it quite a bit for our son. So, yeah, it was a chronic problem, and it's painful.
It is painful, and he had this off and on, but they did nothing to treat it. Now, they didn't have much to treat it back then. But it went on and off, and then he was released from prison. And then a few years later, in 1900, which is when his life ended, it really came back with a vengeance. So this was the fall of 1900.
And it sounds exquisitely agonizing.
Yeah, it is painful in and of itself. And then it seemed to have spread to the mastoid bone, which is right near the ear and right under the brain. And that, particularly before antibiotics, was a harbinger of bad things. When it got to the mastoid bone, you really had the risk of meningitis, an infection.
It's way too close to the brain.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very thin layer. And when it hits the meninges, that's the layer of the brain and then goes into the brain, you can get what's called meningoencephalitis. And that's a terrible infection that kills you. And it sounds that's what Oscar had. And his last month on Earth was just agonizing, punctuated with doses of opium and chlorohydrate. And he was quite febrile. He had bad fever. He was delirious.
And that all fits.
And that all fits, yeah.
That all fits. And as you point out, there are some incredibly ironic aspects to Oscar Wilde's death. First of all, what we just talked about, you know, there are antibiotics today. If he had had this today, a couple of scripts probably would have taken care of it.
We would have treated him early and often.
Yeah, early and often.
And moreover, he would have never have gone to jail and had those horrible medical circumstances in jail for simply being a homosexual. He could have declared his sexuality and that nobody would have turned an eye. And then there's a third one that is – to me, really incredible. His father, Sir William Wilde, was one of the great ear surgeons of Ireland. And his textbook was read by people in Ireland and England and America. It was a very popular book in the United States. And he had a famous passage that was quoted by doctors all the time. As long as there is otorrhea or ear discharge, you never know where it's going to go. And what he meant is that as long as that discharge is going on, because there's actually a hole in the eardrum, you risk terrible infection spreading and then a brain infection and death.
It's just heartbreaking to think that that somehow wasn't connected with his own son, that the lines weren't drawn.
Yeah, that's why history is so fun, is that you could never make this stuff up. Real life is always much more interesting than fiction.
And then as you point out, there are those who maintain that Oscar Wilde died 115 years ago this day of a broken heart and a broken spirit.
Yeah, it's so sad. He was really one of the wittiest men ever and a very talented writer. And I think it's worthwhile celebrating the importance of being Oscar.
University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor, Dr. Howard Markel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.